If you have your Bibles, you want to turn with me to Luke chapter 3. And I actually want to read one verse. You've heard of John 3:16. I want to read Luke 3:16. And I want to talk to you about Jesus the Baptizer. Jesus the Baptizer. In verse 16, it says, John answered, this is talking about John the Baptist, saying unto them all, I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I is coming, the latchet of whose shoes I'm not worthy to unloose. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Then we'll turn with me to John 16. And I want to begin reading with verse 7, John 16, and I'll read through 15. John 16, verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, and this is Jesus doing the speaking, it is expedient for you, or it's to your advantage, that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Comforter will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not in me. Of righteousness, because I go to the Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, that's the Comforter, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will receive of mine, and will show it to you. All things that the Father has are mine, therefore I said that he will take of mine, and will show it unto you. So John says that Jesus is the baptizer who baptizes with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Here we see where Jesus is talking about sending the Comforter. Turn back with me to Malachi chapter 3, and let's look at the first two verses. Malachi 3, beginning with verse 1. Behold, I will send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me, and the Lord, whom you seek, will suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant, whom you delight in. Behold, he will come, says the Lord of hosts, but who may abide the day of his coming? And who will stand when he appears? For he's like a refiner's fire, and like fuller's soap or a launderer's soap. What John the Baptist said is not that he will baptize you with the Holy Ghost fire, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. We know that fire is consuming. It refines. In other words, refining is just simply taking the impurities away. You bring something to a boiling point or liquefied point, and then the impurities come to the top and you scrape off the impurities. And so these are two things that occur to the person that's really going to follow the Lord. You submit yourself to Jesus. Jesus is the baptizer. Now, in order to be baptized, you have to receive him first, right? Isn't it interesting that when before Jesus left in Matthew 28:19, he says, go to all nations and baptize or immerse them into the name of the Father, into the name of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Okay? And so we're doing all this in the name of Jesus. Well, people have their own ideas what it means to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. But if you look at the word baptize, the Greek word baptizo, which means to immerse into, that's submerging. Okay? And so we are to be immersed into Jesus. And Jesus then immerses us into the Holy Spirit. You have to receive the baptizer before you can receive the baptism. But the baptizer and baptism are not one and the same. You follow me? Had they been, Jesus did not say, he would not have said, it's to your advantage that I go away. But if I go away, I'm going to send one, and allow me to paraphrase, I'm going to send one who will not just walk with you, but one who will live in you. So Jesus had walked with his apostles. He had been here on earth. They could associate with him at least part of the day. You understand? But he said, I'm going to give you one that lives in you. There were times that the disciples were looking to see where Jesus was. Not so with the Holy Spirit. If we submit ourselves to Jesus, okay, then he immerses us in to the Spirit of God. Now, a lot of people confuse the Spirit of God with tongues. He didn't say he would immerse you into tongues. He said he would immerse you into the Spirit. Tongues are part of the Spirit. Okay? Just a part. A part. And too many people are confusing who the Holy Spirit is. The Holy Spirit is God. It's a manifestation of God. In the Old Covenant, they were seeing God from the perspective of the Creator. Jesus introduces them when he comes on the scene to God as Father. Something that was somewhat strange to them, even though in the Old Covenant, God had called himself a Father to them. But then Jesus, you know, introducing God as Father, would have to be conveyed the message, I'm the Son. Because how many times did he refer to his Father? And so he's the Son. Now, the interesting thing about this is religion would not embrace the Son. They refused to be immersed into the Son. The common people received John the Baptist's message, which was a baptism of repentance, turning from an old way of life to go a new way of life. That was John's baptism, a baptism of repentance. In Acts 2:38, and you know, after Peter stands up on the day of Pentecost and preaches to the people, they said, what are we to do? You know, and he said, repent, be baptized into the name of Jesus for the remission of sin. You repent from it, then you get forgiveness of it. You understand? Then receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Okay? And so, when Jesus comes on the scene, he's immersing people into the Father. And they're getting immersed into who Jesus is. John the Baptist himself said, behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Peter recognized him, you're the Son of God. Jesus said, you didn't get that from flesh and blood. That's a revelation from the Father. You understand? And so then Jesus told his apostles who had cast out devils, who had healed the sick, who had preached the kingdom of God, he said, wait in Jerusalem until you're endued with power from on high. Now, wait a minute. Sounds like they had power. But they had authority. They were operating with the authority of the name of Jesus. Authority over sickness and disease. Authority over the devil. The authority to proclaim the kingdom of God. But when it came down to being, they didn't have the power to be in adverse circumstances like the Garden of Gethsemane. They all ran, trying to protect their own lives. And then ultimately we see that Peter denies him. But it's interesting that after the day of Pentecost, Peter, the one who denied him, is the one who stands up and proclaims to the ones he was afraid of. This is the Messiah. This is the Christ. This, you crucified God's Son. I mean, he's very bold in that, and you don't see him back down anymore. Why? Now he has power to be. And actually, that's what Jesus was saying in Acts 1:8, that you'll receive power after the Holy Spirit's come upon you, or when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and all the uttermost parts of the earth. And so the Holy Spirit gives us the power to be the witness that God wants us to be. Believing in Jesus, who he is not give you the power to withstand adverse circumstances. That's why so many deny Jesus. But when you're immersed in the Spirit of God, the Spirit of God gets in you, you've got the power to stand in the midst of adversity, not fearing your life, knowing, as Paul said, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain, to be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord. It's the Spirit of God that gives you this revelation and gives you the power to be what God wants you to be. Now, this is why Jesus is telling his apostles, you wait in Jerusalem and get this power. Well, let me tell you something. If the apostles who had done these fabulous things needed the Spirit of God to be, how much more do we need the Holy Spirit to be what God's called us to be? But it doesn't stop there. Not only did it say that we would be baptized in the Holy Spirit, that Jesus would baptize us in the Holy Spirit, but with fire. Now, we'd rather leave that part out unless we can think of Holy Ghost fire. But when we use it in the context that it was spoken, it's a consuming fire. Our God's a consuming fire. So what is the fire? First Peter talks about the trying of your faith in the first chapter. In the fourth chapter, he says, think it not strange. The King James Version says the fiery trials that come upon you. What's he talking about? Test, temptations, adversities. What do those things do? They reveal who you are. They bring your character to the top. They'll show the house to the house, if you will. Okay? And so this fire, this refiner's fire, this fuller's soap, this baptism of fire is something that brings your inadequacies to the top, your shortcomings to the top for you to deal with. You follow me? God's showing you. He's testing you. You say, I have faith. But when the test comes, you want to quit. You see, you see this in Mark, the fourth chapter, with the parable of the sower. Some by the wayside wouldn't even take it in. Some took it in, but when the heat was on, and the heat is called persecution for the word's sake, you take your stand for Jesus, and it's not popular with all those around you. Can you take the heat? That's why Jesus said, count the cost. You want to be my disciple? Can you take the heat? Can you endure what I have? Can you be baptized with what I was baptized with? That's what he asked John, James and John. You know, we want to sit around. We want position. He said, can you be baptized with the baptism I'm baptized with? Yeah, he said, you will be. Jesus said he went through the adversities. He went through the temptations. He went through the fire, if you will. You follow me? And so when we submit ourselves to Jesus, we're to submit ourselves to his power, but we're also to submit ourselves to his correction, which comes through fire. When we are shown shortcomings in our life, then we're to deal with it. And people want to, you know, just start grumbling and complaining. This is not going right and that's going on. They said this about me and they don't like me. Well, guess what? They're not your problem. You are. Get in that fire and stay in that fire until it burns off the stuff off of you. I think about the three Hebrew children. It was in the fire that they were freed from the bondage. It was the fire that proved them and had the dramatic effect that it had going through the fire. Don't think you're going to avoid it. You're not going to avoid it. Jesus said that those who live godly in this life are going to suffer, or Paul said, going to suffer persecution. Jesus said it's with tribulation that you enter into the kingdom of God. And so it's imperative that we submit ourselves totally to Jesus, allowing Him to immerse us in His Spirit, which gives us the power to be what God wants us to be in the midst of the adversity. You with me? In the midst of it. There's a lack of commitment, loyalty, because there's a lack of power in our life. As we mentioned this morning, you can have the form of godliness, but how about those who deny the power? And see, that's the problem. The power, letting the power of God work in you. We want the power of God to work through us, but not in us. But the whole purpose of being immersed into the Spirit of God is to where it empowers us to be what God wants us to be. In Acts 10:38, it says of Jesus how God anointed Him with the Holy Spirit and with power, and went about doing good, healing all those who were oppressed of the devil, because God was with Him. God anoints us in the same manner with the Holy Spirit. In the Old Testament, it was a special oil, special ingredients. And when something was anointed, oil was poured on it. In the New Testament, it's the Holy Spirit that sets one apart. All the pouring the oil on one or an object or a person, it set that person or object apart for a particular purpose. When the Spirit of God, when we're immersed into the Spirit of God, we're set apart for a particular purpose. You understand? And so we're to be used for that purpose. That means we're to give our lives for that purpose. You don't matter anymore. Self-life doesn't matter anymore. Now you're immersed, first off, in Jesus, then in the Spirit, and then you submit to the fiery trials to let it burn off the impurities. And when you see something shortcoming in your life, when everything's not going right and you're complaining about having a bad day, it's just revealing who you are and what you need to deal with. And I'm going to make a bold statement here. It's never the other person. God wants us to the point to where we can walk like Jesus. It doesn't matter what the other person's saying or doing, it doesn't affect our walk with God. Where did Jesus complain? You had it worse than Him? If you had more temptations than Him? Have you faced more adversities than Him? Yet He never sinned. He didn't try to defend Himself. He never vindicated Himself. He never tried to prove who He was. He knew who He was. If you know who you are, you don't have to prove who you are. You just be who you are. We need to get a revelation of that. And God wants us to submit ourselves to Jesus' baptism in power that enables us to be the witness that God wants us to be in earth, and submit ourselves to the fire that will burn off these impurities that are affecting our witness. It's hard to witness to a person fussing at them and arguing with them. It's hard to witness to a person when you're acting like they're acting. God hasn't called us to fight flesh with flesh. God's called us to put the flesh to death. so the Spirit of God can be seen through us. And so when you get immersed into the Spirit, you have to stay under. Can't be sticking your ugly head out, you understand? Stay under. The whole purpose of immersion is to where you're totally covered with the Spirit. Note he said it's with the Spirit. John did it with water. We're not talking about water. We're talking about the Spirit of God. That water, you went into what the water is a grave. You go into the Spirit, you dead. Flesh is dead. You're not trying to please the natural man now in the Spirit. Your mind's on the Lord. You want to please the Lord. And as you make your attempt through life in pleasing God, then opposition comes. Burning off. Burning off. Burning off. Don't resist either of those baptisms. Jesus is doing it. Now, when I say Jesus is doing it, Jesus is allowing things to happen in our life. Think about this. When Jesus was baptized, water baptized by John the Baptist, the Spirit of God came on him. What's the first thing the Spirit of God did? Led him into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Think about it. Do you think God won't lead you into places to where the devil will tempt you? That's why Jesus is saying, when you pray, Father, our Father who's in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Don't lead us in that path of flesh. Let's be led by the Spirit of God. You with me? And so the bottom line is this. It's not enough to accept Jesus. We have to accept what Jesus has to offer, who He is as the baptizer. We have to receive His baptism in both the Spirit as well as in fire. What's it doing? It's making you a better person. You submit to it, you're going to come out on the other side as a tremendous witness for God. You think of the Hebrew children, those three Hebrew children. It had such an impact on the king, it affected the entire kingdom. Their going through the fire affected the entire kingdom. Nobody had better say anything about this God, is what the king said. You understand? And if we just get the revelation that we're here on earth as representatives, not of ourselves, we're here as representatives of the kingdom of God, but we cannot properly represent the kingdom of God without power and without cleansing. The fire purges us. Remember, he did use the word fuller soap, refiner's fire, fuller soap. What's it doing? It's cleaning us up. And so Jesus empowers us and cleans us up. That's what the baptizer does. He empowers us with His Spirit and He cleans us up with the fire. Get the message? Don't resist it. Submit to Jesus, the baptizer. Now the interesting thing about it is how many people won't even submit to being immersed into power. Well, I got all the power I need. No, you don't. You don't even know what you need if you're thinking like that. I expect the apostles there, when they was healing sick and casting out devils, they thought they had power until they met the lunatic son. Why couldn't we do this? Lack of faith is what he said. That's what Jesus said. Why couldn't we cast the devil out? You go back and read, it said that he gave them authority over all devils, demons. What was lacking? According to Jesus' faith. Needed that power on the inside of them to rise up. Need to submit to the power of God. And I'm telling you that, I mean, after the day of Pentecost, they find Peter raising the dead. Remember Dorcas? Why? He was aware of the power of God on the inside of him. Did he ever run at threats? No. He was put in jail. God released him. Do you understand? To keep this message going. Now, ultimately, he was killed. He didn't run from it this time. He ran to it. You understand? Instead of trying to preserve the flesh, we need to get that flesh dead, burned off of us. And that's what the baptism of fire is designed to do, is burn the flesh off of you. So if people are giving you a problem, God's trying to burn that junk off of you. Don't blame the people. Just tell yourself, I'm not where God wants me to be. That's why I'm facing what I'm facing. That make you happy? It's a fact. It's a fact. Read it. Fiery trials. It's actually talking about tests. Okay? So what's Jesus' baptism? In the Holy Spirit, power, and in fire, which is cleansing. So let's submit ourselves to Him to be enabled to be what He wants us to be, and to be clean enough to be what He wants us to be. Amen? Okay, that's the message. You guys all right? Good. Don't complain about things that you had. Don't even talk about having a bad day. No, you had a revealing day. Show you how bad you are. The day wasn't bad, you were. That just came up. Okay. Father, I thank You that You bless us indeed. You enlarge our territory, Your hands with us to keep us from evil so that we do not cause pain. You bless us and keep us. You make Your face to shine upon us. You're gracious unto us. You lift up Your countenance upon us and give us peace. So, Lord, we invite You to rise up. Let Your enemies be scattered and those who hate You be before You. Amen. So we're going to have a good week, right? And we're not going to be bad people, right? Okay.